This morning we're going to close out our series in Malachi. If you guys would, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Malachi 3:12. Actually, 3:13, actually. Hey, Alex, am I on over here?
Yes.
Am I? Oh, maybe it's because I haven't turned it on. There we go. That always helps. Okay. I know that I know that Ruby prayed, but I just don't feel quite right unless I go to the Lord myself. So if you guys would just bow your heads with me, Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for that we can come together as a body. Remember your broken body and your blood shed for us. This is why we gather. This is why we come together. This is what life is. You have given us life in you. Lord God, I pray that as we finish off what you've inspired Malachi to write, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, that you would transform us and remind us of your truths and who you are, your character, that you always follow through with your promises. It's who you are and it's your nature. And I pray that as your word is pressed in upon us, that we would respond to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, people can forget important things. There was a college student at the University of Delaware who had settled into a regular routine his sophomore year. For every time he'd come home from class or maybe from work, for several hours a night, Ryan would be on his computer playing online poker. Right? Ryan. Yeah, he didn't give his last name, so Ryan, but not this Ryan. He said this. He said, I'd pretty much get home from whatever I was doing at 10 at night and play until 5 in the morning. I'd stop doing everything and probably gained like 40 pounds. He went on to say, two clicks and no matter when or where, just as long as you have a computer, you can be playing for however little or however much you want. Ryan ended up losing $25,000 in a single night. His problem was eventually caught because his credit company called his parents. How would you like to get that call?
Is this Mr. Chen? Your son has several credit cards with us and they are maxed out to $20,000.
And his parents eventually ended up pulling him out of the University of Delaware, and he still, at least the way that the story ended, is he still had $10,000 in debt from gambling. You see, sooner or later, for Ryan and for many of us, the bill will come due eventually, okay? What Ryan did is he kept on playing without realizing that the reality of his actions and behavior would eventually press in on him. Okay? And many of us, many people around us, and many of us live our lives in a similar and same way, with hardly ever giving a thought about there will come a time of a day of reckoning. Maybe, I don't know, for you guys are pretty good students, so sometimes I know many students experience this day of reckoning on exam day, you know, when you've kind of slacked off the whole semester, maybe these guys, you guys are all pretty good students, so this doesn't really happen to you, but a similar experience would be, you know, when you've let the whole semester go, and I don't think I've seen students go into $25,000 of debt, but in college, I have seen people sit in their room playing video games and never leave their room, never go to class, and their day of reckoning does come. But similarly, like many of us live our lives, many of the people around us live our lives in such a way, not thinking that there will come a day when we will be held responsible for our lives, for how we live. All right? And so Malachi ends this prophecy that we're going to look at today with a reminder for both the people of his day and our day as well. All right? So here's the big idea. God makes a significant distinction between those who fear him and those who do not. Okay? As we look at this passage today, he's going to say, hey, here's a separation of two different folks. Same group of people, like all one kind of group of people, but there is going to be a distinction, and it's going to be very clearly revealed at the end times on the day of the Lord. All right? So let's take a look at our passage. Malachi 3:13 says this. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying His commands or trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed. For those who do not who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. All right? So again, we've heard this echoed before, back in kind of like in I think it was like 2:17, where people were saying, "Hey, where is the justice of God?" In fact, we've heard this throughout the whole book of Malachi. Hey, God, how have you shown your love for us lately? Hey, where is, as we look around and we see the prosperous, we see the wicked, we see those who are in our schools maybe, who are in our businesses around us, and they're not following you, they're not obeying you, and yet they're doing just fine. We've seen this throughout, and now the people are becoming more and more harsh with the Lord, saying, hey, the words are becoming more stronger, more arrogant against the Lord. And they say that there's two basic reasons why it's a waste of time to serve God. All right? Again, one is that, hey, when we do the right thing, there's no reward. There's nothing that we actually gain for our obedience to Him. And the second is, hey, when God doesn't really punish evil, as we look around, and maybe you see this as well. You know, you look around in your world. You look around at the people in your lives. Look around at the things that they are doing. And they say, hey, when we look at the world, God, we don't really see you at all. So we see no real benefit in following you. We see those who are cheating, getting better grades. We see those who are doing things under the table in business, prospering. So why? Why do we even need to follow you or obey you? But you know what? Again, as we kind of look at what these folks are saying, you know, there's many of us, again, who can really, in some ways relate to this. You know, many of us may say, like, I've felt this at times. I felt saying, like, what's the use of serving you, God, when I'm trying to keep a pure life, and then I look around and all these other folks are doing just fine. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to keep on tracking with you? Why do I have to keep on meeting with you? Why do I have to keep on obeying you? Right? And when I look around, those who don't follow you seem to be doing just fine. Their lives are even prospering. So many of us can say, I feel this, I feel the same thing. But I think the difference is for people, I think the difference is that what we want to distinguish is that there is a difference when we're expressing to God what is the tone that they're talking about and what's the tone that we can express ourselves to God to when we are disappointed. Here it is, okay? Here's kind of the tone of the passage. There's some in the Bible who are, hey, I don't think that it is wrong to express disappointment with God. You know, it's not wrong to express, hey, when I look around, God, I don't know why I keep following you. I feel like I try to keep my life pure. I try to obey you. And my world is falling apart. And that's honest disappointment, right? Maybe some of you have experienced this, and maybe some of you have expressed this. I think even as far as much as it's okay to express even anger with God. Because you're just being, I think God is a big enough shoulders, God is big enough where He can take us expressing ourselves to Him. But there's also rebellion, alright? There's also rebellion. And this might be the tone that this passage is taking. Hey God, you know what, we've tried out the whole obedience thing, and frankly, we really don't need it. You know, I mean, we'll see, it's not benefiting us at all, so why should we? Let's take a look at least at one example of disappointment. Because what I want you guys to do is I want you to be able to express yourself to God. Sometimes we're taught with God, you know, don't be angry at God. Don't express disappointment. But I want to tell you that in the Bible we see examples of disappointment. Here's one of Psalm of Asaph. Expressing something very similar to what these folks are, but more in a sense of I'm just expressing how I feel. Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. So again, it's all right. I'm telling you, I want to give you the freedom to say, hey, here's the guy who's expressing disappointment. Because, gosh, Lord, I am trying. I want to obey you. I've got the heart to obey you. But when I look around, I just don't see. I see other people prospering, and I don't get it. You know? Why? All right? But we also need to be careful to examine our own hearts. We need to be careful that we don't slip into coming back to this kind of harshness or arrogance. Maybe again, the background of Malachi is that people have been slowly slipping away from God. They've been slowly distancing themselves, slowly creating more and more distance, giving up partial offerings, giving up half offerings, giving up their second best, and they've been slowly slipping away. And their attitudes have, and their obedience have begun to display this. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't slip into this kind of attitude. We can express disappointment, we can express anger, but not rebellion. Because what you'll see here is you'll see the difference between this group. What happens is God begins to make a distinction between this next group. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In His presence A scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. One day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. All right, so the first, what's happening here is for the first time, it becomes evident that there's a remnant within Israel. Okay, remember what happened is there was an exile, like all the people who were in captive under Babylon, and they were all spread out. They all came back from and were freed. Persia took over Babylon and freed them up, so they're able to come home. So all these people come home, and they're back in their home country. It's been 10, 15, time goes on, and they slowly slip away. But for the first time, all these people who are coming together and who are supposedly, you know, God's people, Israel, it becomes evident there is a part within these group of believers who is a true remnant, who is a true followers of Christ, who are willing to stand up and say, no, these folks over here, they are not following you, Lord, and we're ready to stand up, okay? We're ready to witness against them. There is a distinction that is happening here of those who fear the Lord truly and those who do not. All right, so those who fear the Lord does not refer to all the people of Israel, but to the spiritual remnant of the true Israel, whose lives and testimony are within full accord with the living realization of the holiness and majesty of God. Okay, so in other words, stay with me here. I'll bring this back to us, all right? I'll bring it back to where we are at. In other words, just because a person is an Israelite does not mean that they were part of the covenant people, okay? Just because they were a Hebrew, they were an Israelite, that doesn't mean that they were part of the covenant people. As I've gone through, as we've walked through Malachi, I remember telling you guys a few weeks ago that, hey, you know what? You are the sons and daughters of God. So once you enter into that relationship, you may go through some experience of trials, of really tough times. God, within the relationship of His son or daughtership, of that relationship with you, can and will discipline you. All right, so you may feel at times the pain of a trial that God allows into your life. You may feel maybe that God is allowing you to wander. You may feel a little bit of a distance between you and God. And He's saying, okay, I'll allow you. If you want to go off, I'll allow you to wander away for a bit. And you'll experience the consequences yourself. But one thing God will never do is that He will never say, you are not my son anymore. You are not my daughter anymore. He cannot do that. Okay? He cannot do that. He will never say that. But there are times when there are cases where within Israel, He is saying, but you were never part of this covenant relationship. All right? You were never part of this covenant relationship. So what is happening here is, again, He's saying, hey, there's a group of people who are supposedly God's people, but He's saying, no, there's actually some true followers here. And I'm making a distinction. Hold on with me one more passage, and I'll bring it back to us, okay? This is what Apostle Paul says. Well then, has God failed to fulfill His promise to Israel? No. For not all who are being born to the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. Being descendants of Abraham doesn't make them truly Abraham's children. For the scriptures say Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted, though Abraham had other children too. This means that Abraham's physical descendants are not necessarily children of God. Only the children of the promise are considered to be Abraham's children. In other words, because you are an Israelite does not mean you are part of God's people. And Jesus echoed this same message to the Pharisees. Because what would happen is that the Pharisees would begin to say, "Hey, you know what? I've got it made in the shade because I am the line of Abraham. I've got the keys to heaven. You know, I don't have to really obey God. I don't really have to follow what God has laid out for me because, you know what, I am in the line of Abraham. So I'm just hunky-dory." And Jesus would say, "No, I don't think so. Just because you are part of the line of Abraham doesn't mean that you have the keys to heaven. Doesn't mean that you're automatically part of God's people." All right? And so we take this and bring this up to date for us. What does that mean for us now? Well, it means that today, in churches, there are people going around with the same attitude, okay? The same feeling. Just as many Israelites thought that because they were part of Abraham's line, they were in on the covenant and had the keys to heaven, so today there are people who are going to churches, who are in the church, who think because they attend church, who think that because they grew up in the church, because they give an offering, because they go to Sunday school or a youth group, because their parents are Christian, that they too have like a clear entryway into heaven, right? But you see, just going to church, just being in the building, doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into McDonald's makes you a hamburger, right? It doesn't automatically happen that way. All right? I was driving up to a retreat once with one of my relatives, a cousin of mine, and she asked me on the way up, it was my cousin and Sarah and I, she said, "Hey," she was thinking through faith. She was thinking through, she asked, "Hey, are all Lutherans going to heaven?" And what was behind her question was, "Are Lutherans Christian and are they going to heaven?" All right? She was exploring this. Her background is Lutheran. All right? She's from Minnesota. Okay? All Minnesotans are Lutheran. Okay? Just so you know. Okay? And I said, "You know what? I said, it won't matter if you are Lutheran, if you are Baptist, if you are Presbyterian, if you are Episcopal, if you are Methodist. God is not going to ask you what denomination you are in. There will be people in," I said, "look, there will be people in," we were going to Evangelical Free Church at the time. We were driving up to this Evangelical Free retreat. I said, "There will be people in the Evangelical Free Church when it comes to the end times, when God comes back, that will be very surprised. That will be very surprised because they have gone to the church their whole lives. They have sat, they've listened to the sermons. And yet the Lord will say, 'I never knew you.'" See, the Lord is looking for what here, at least in Malachi's time, the Lord is looking for those He has called into a covenant relationship with Him, a Abrahamic relationship, who is faithful, who have entered into this relationship and have an Abrahamic faith. Okay? Those are the ones, and what happens is for those people, what is evident with them is that they are following after God. Their lives are filled with their lives demonstrate or indicate that they are in this relationship through their obedience. These folks, these folks that we just read about, they're not in this relationship, all right? They're not in this Abrahamic relationship. And so, for us, we also need to examine. We also need to look at ourselves and examine and say, hey, are we the ones that are maybe in the church who's taken a pass and saying, hey, look, I go to church and I go to youth group, and so I must be a Christian. And in a few minutes, I'll give you some indicators to say, hey, look, here's how we can take a look at our lives and say, I know that many of you are already like, well, I know that I'm a Christian, all right? I don't need evidence. I already know that I am. But I just don't want any of you, I don't want any of us in this room to get to the point where Christ returns and the Lord says, you're at church, but I just never knew who you were. All right, so I'll give you a couple of indicators to say, okay, yeah, I do know I'm one of His. But first I want to share with you some of the outcomes, okay? Malachi begins to share with the people the outcomes of the two groups. The Lord of the heaven's army says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing on his wings, and you will go free, leaping like joy with joy, like calves let out to pasture. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if you were dust under your feet, says the Lord of the heaven's armies. All right, so all the people who wearied the Lord, and that we saw back in, say, 2:17, when they were saying, you're wearying the Lord by asking things like, where is the justice of God? All those who've like said, who have had this attitude, this heart attitude is of rebellion, of we don't really need you. Hey, we're Israelites, but we don't really need you because we've tried out this obedience thing and frankly it doesn't work for us. It doesn't do anything for us. All those who, early in Malachi, who Malachi referred to the adulterers, the liars, those who defraud laborers of wages, who have oppressed the widows, the fatherless, who have put aside the immigrants, they will all be, at that time, judged on this day. And the time when He comes back, it won't be... earlier in Malachi, we talked about how God will come back and we talked about how He'll purify us. He'll kind of put His heavy hand on us and purify His people. This time, it's not going to be about purification. It's going to be about judgment. So I don't want any of you to be in that spot. I don't want any of you to someday, and it'll be unexpected. I don't want any of you to be here at OCCYG, at OCC, and be in a spot where the Lord says, says in Matthew 7, He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not go to OCCYG? Did we not go to church in your name? Cast out demons. Hey, didn't we serve also? Didn't we do many deeds in the power of your name? And you'd think, gosh, if people are actually prophesying, if people are actually doing deeds of power in their name, you'd think, gosh, that obviously must be a Christian. But He says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. So I don't want any of you to ever be in the spot. Here's just some indicators of just how you can begin to know that you're based on the Bible. Again, I know some of you don't even need this at all. Some of you are like, hey, I don't need to even look at the Word. I know that I'm a true believer. I know that I'm a follower. But based on Scripture, okay, here's how we can kind of know that, hey, that there is something that's happening inside of us. First, it talks about Bible in Galatians. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So in other words, hey, you know that you are walking. You know that you're a true believer of the Lord. If the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life, are you experiencing these things? Do you have patience? Is God, and we don't have to display these perfectly, but are these coming in increasing measure in your life? All right? We'll also know that another indicator that knows that, hey, that we are one of His true disciples is love for one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. All right? If we're demonstrating love and true care for one another, you'll know that, hey, that you are a true follower, a true disciple. And finally, simply just a tender heart towards the Lord. Like, you know, I know that sometimes when this message is given, people in the congregation begin to worry, like, am I a believer? Like, am I the one? Am I a true believer, or am I like just going to church and just? Am I going to be the ones that God says, Lord, Lord, or who says, I never? When Jesus says, talks to them, I never knew you. But if you're worried about that, it means that you have your concern even shows that you have a heart towards the Lord. Nian, I just want you to know that that all this, as we look around, I want you to not be discouraged when you look around and you see those who are not following the Lord prospering. And you're tempted in life to go, what's it all for? I don't really need this. You know, I don't really have to. Obedience is sometimes extremely hard. I don't really need this. But just to remain faithful, because in the end, Jesus will return. He will fulfill His promise. He will fulfill His promises. So stay tracking with Him. Why don't we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, within this room, maybe within this church, there may be some who are, as is described in this passage, who come to church, who are maybe a part of our community, but when it comes down to it, don't have the regenerated life, the life that comes from you within them because of the hardness of their heart. Lord, we pray for those. We pray for those. I think it would be the most scariest thing in the world to the very end and hear those words from you that you never really knew me. But Lord, ultimately, our confidence is in Jesus Christ. Our confidence is what He has done on the cross. Our confidence is that you are, that you initiate with us, that you begin a good work within us, and that you complete that good work that you've started within us. Father, I pray that that the life that we have in us would be expressed through obedience, would be expressed through the little things that we do in during the week, the little things that you call us to do, the small things, anything from the way we treat our siblings to our expense reports at work, doing things with integrity. Let the life that is within us, just like those in the Old Testament, be expressed through obedience and love for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.